Well, hello there. This is Bishop Todd from Agape Community Church. Glad to be with you to talk to you a little bit about what's going on in the world today. Why it seems that we're having so many problems. Is this truly the last days, as it's been said in the Bible, that Jesus said that there would be a lot of turmoil and problems? And it seems right now we sure do have that. So before we get into the sermon, I want to find out, why are you listening to this broadcast? Are you in your car? Are you at home sick? Are you getting ready for work, church, football? Are you going to the beach? Maybe you're getting ready to go shopping or to breakfast. Or maybe you're just playing hooky from church. Well, if you're within the last four of these, football, beach, shopping, hooky from church, you need to get up out of that bed and get your clothes on and go to church. And I'll catch you the next time. But if you're sick and you're in a car, when I pray, don't close your eyes. Just listen. Maybe this message might be just for you. Let's pray. Lord God, in Jesus' name, bless us now. Amen. Yeah, I'm going to be coming from 2 Timothy and also from the book of Revelation. 2 Timothy chapter 3 is a very important chapter. This is a letter written by Paul to Timothy, one of his preachers. It's called a pastoral epistle. It's a letter that's written to pastors. And this chapter is very important because it really looks like what we're going through today in America. It says this, verse 1 of chapter 3 says, "But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but not denying its power." That last one I'm going to read from my commentary says here, what is a form of godliness? Now, you know about the rest of them. We all know what it is to be a lover of money and caught up in materialism. And we all know we got, and some of you got some disobedient children, so you know what it is to be disobedient to parents. And some people are just ungrateful and unthankful for the good things that God has provided for them. And some people are just unforgiving. They never let go of any of the problems and situations that they have with people. And some people are just not even loving. They don't care about people. Some are just traitors. You can't establish any kind of contract with them because they're not going to keep it. Some people are just plain old headstrong, hard-headed, can't talk to them, can't get nothing through to them, haughty. Some people just, they're caught up in themselves and proud, arrogant. And then some people are just lovers of pleasure. Some people just, they say, if it feels good, do it. That's called hedonism. And that was very prevalent during the times of Paul. And it's very prevalent now. But one of the things that he also says here is that you got to make sure that, let's just read it. "But you have carefully followed my doctrine." He's talking about Timothy here. "In your manner of life and purpose and faith and long-suffering, love and perseverance, persecutions and afflictions, which have happened to him at Antioch and at Iconium and at Lystra." But here it says also, And out of them all, the Lord delivered me. And what God is trying to say to us, too, is he might have to deliver you from some of those type of people that we just talked about. But one thing here, I like this verse. It says, and yes, all those who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And let me tell you, that word long suffering is a fruit of the Spirit. And it's one of those facets of love that has to be planted deep into your soul so that it grows a tree and so that that kind of fruit is produced, because people will get on your last nerve to make sure you know that what long suffering is all about. If you don't know what it is, you will find out. Now, you know, growing up, I used to love to go to church and listen to preachers. And yeah, I played hooky from church before. And yeah, I stayed home and then went out to eat brunch and enjoyed my Sundays driving my convertible sports car. And, well, I just loved Sundays because I could read the New York Times newspaper from the beginning to the end. But you know, one day God got a hold of my heart and opened me up to the truth that I needed Jesus Christ fully, and that I needed to fully commit to him. And when after that happened, Sunday was just for him. But you know, along the way, I had to find out too that all preachers are not alike. I used to not like preachers. I used to really couldn't stand them. And there's still a few I don't really care too much about. But anyway, that's another sermon. Anyway, right now, what we want to do is get in and find out these perilous times that we're living in and how we're going to deal with them. And how can we make sure that we're able to be delivered from this kind of treacherous lifestyle that's all around us. People who just don't want to do right. One of my preachers called do-wrongers. They love to do right. I don't want to do right. One guy said, if loving you is wrong, I don't want to do right. And we got a whole lot of that going on, too. But anyway, that's another sermon, too. We're living in treacherous times. We're living in perilous times. We're living in times. Well, let's look at the book of Revelation. Let's look and see. We're going to just deal with church folks. Yeah, you know, because that's pretty much who Paul was telling Timothy about. All of those folks that had those various definitions of their character showed that they had some problems in the church. In the book of Revelation, chapter 2, it says that there were seven churches, and they presented a type of kind of a psychological how would you say it? A way of you understanding who were the main members of the church, how they related to Christ. And out of these seven churches, although they like to call them that they're seven churches from history, that's the way they related. It still shows that it does present a way of us looking at ourselves and seeing what kind of church we are. And so it gives you an opportunity to critique a church, since some of you, you know, might not even be going to church right now. You might not have a church you're going to. It might have been like me. You couldn't find a church that you really trusted anybody in, or you felt the Holy Spirit. But you can come to Agape if you want to. But anyway, if you're in our area. But here it says one of the churches is the number one church. Number one church is called the Church of Ephesus, and it's called the Loveless Church. Now, this church was very strict. They practiced all the good things. They fed the hungry, and they took care of the poor. They did a lot of good things, and they had the right doctrine. They followed the Bible. The scriptures of what they had of that day. Christ told John that he was unhappy with him, and he was talking to John, who was the pastor of the Church of Ephesus. He told him, John, y'all forgive me. Mm-hmm. He said, hey, you know what? You're doing all these great things, but I got a problem with you. You've lost your first love. You're going through the motions. You're not really serving me and out of love. You serve me out of, because you feel like you got to do it. And that was the problem with that church in Ephesus. See, what happens is that when people go to church for a while, if they don't allow the Holy Spirit to continue to minister to their souls, their spirits, it will dry up, and they will start to worship through their own strength. In other words, they go on because, hey, I need to check this square off. I went to church. I went to the gym. I went to work. Yeah, okay. Now I can go to Walmart. You know, whatever. Free plug for Walmart. Anyway, but, you know, we have to watch ourselves that we don't allow church to become so routine that we lose our love for Christ. And when you lose your love for Christ, you start focusing on people. And you start seeing all the crazy folk in the church, all these people I just got to be talking about, that you need to have the love of Christ so that you can love them. Because if you can't love them, you can't help them. So that's what Christ's trying to get across to John. The second church is Smyrna, and you can find these churches, this critique in the Book of Revelation, chapters 2 and 3. It was called the persecuted church, Smyrna, and all these churches were pretty much on a mail delivery line. Of course, it was 7 churches, and they all had when you went from, the mail was delivered along these lines to each one of these cities. And so he wasn't just picking on them, but he was evaluating what was taking place in each one of these churches. And these were people who were basically the Smyrna church, the persecuted church, they were going through it. They were catching it. Listen to this. It says in verse 8, it says, and to the angel of the church in Smyrna, he's talking about the messenger or the pastor. He says, these things say the first and the last, and it's Jesus Christ, who was dead and came to life. He said, I know your works, tribulation and poverty, but you are rich. And I know the blasphemy of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. These are enemies of the church. Do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you in the prison that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation 10 days. But be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. He who has an ear, that's a spiritual ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He overcometh shall not be hurt by the second death. He loved this church because they were willing to die for him. That's one of the things that people in Christians today don't realize in America, that you might have to die for your faith. You might be persecuted. The word witness means martyr in the Greek. It's martyr. You might have to be, it says in the Great Commission that we're supposed to be witnesses. But you might have to be a witness unto death, because it says pick up your cross daily. Cross was a sign of death and life. Christ turned it from a sign of death into a sign of life, so a symbol of life. So we Americans, we've seen now through some of the persecutions that have happened to our dear brothers and sisters in the Middle East who have lost their lives for changing from one religion to another. And that is the crown of life, is what they're going to get. They're going to get a special blessing, a special reward for being faithful in the death. The third church is the compromising church, which is called Pergamos. And everybody knows what it is to compromise. They were involved in doing a whole lot of stuff. They were having all kind of sexual crazy stuff in the church, and it was just erratic, some of the things they did. And they of course Christ wasn't happy with them. He said in verse 16, "Repent, or I will come to you quickly, and will fight against them with the sword of his mouth. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. But he says he has a reward for them if they overcome. He said, to him who overcomes, I will give some of the hidden manna for to eat. I don't know what that is, but I'm sure it's good. And I will give him a white stone, better than a diamond, for your ring. Everybody's going to get a ring and going to get some shoes in heaven. Everybody's going to have shoes. Amen. And on the stone, a new name written, which no one knows except him who receives it. Wow. God's going to give you your own nickname, and nobody else will know it but you. Wow. God's a loving God. He's such a forgiving God. Even when we do crazy stuff in the church, even in the church, it's all kind of mess going on. And nobody wants to talk about it. Nobody wants to admit to it. But that's one of the things. That's one of the easy sins people feel that they can, I can do what I want to do. You know, that's this liberation thing that we have in the American church. We don't have to submit to authority. The pastor, he's not my boss. Whatever. And next thing you know, you got problems. The other church, the next church, the fourth church, is called the Church of Thyatira, which is what we call the corrupt church. It being corrupt, he says, I know your works, love, service, faith, and your patience. And as for your works, the last are more than the first. You're doing even greater things. Nevertheless, I have a few things against you. Only two of these churches really got a real wonderful blessing from God. Because you allowed that woman, Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce. Now, this is not against women preachers. So don't get that on. I don't believe that. Is it my servants, she's getting these Christians there to commit sexual immorality and eat things sacrificed to idols. They were eating some of these animals that, God let us know that everything is good to eat, but they were taking idol meat. The best parts of this meat was given as a sacrifice to an idol in the temple, but there was always pieces that were left. And so, of course, you know, anything that's left was discounted. So some of the Christians were sneaking on the side and buying this meat. And of course, it had a bad connotation that if you was eating this meat that was sacrificed unto to Zeus or to whatever idol god they were, Baal or whoever it was they were providing for. So, wow. They got jacked up, as they say. But he said, I'm gonna give her time to repent of her sexual immorality. And she did not repent. Indeed, I will cast her into a sick bed. It's strange. The Bible says when we when we have communion, that if you're going into communion and you don't treat it with respect and the reality of repentance and making sure that any sin that you have done, that you repent of it. It says some people are sick, some sleep. It's talking about that your spiritual corruption can cause your body to get sick. So we don't want to be like that and get judged like that in the church today. Some people can lose your life early by continuing to live a corrupt life as a Christian. Also, real quick, the other few are the dead church, which is Sardis. That's number 5 to 6. Number 6, the faithful church, that's Philadelphia. And that means brotherly love. And they were a small church, but they were a church that was trying to live the Christian life. They were really trying to live it the way God had set it in his word and according to the Holy Spirit as he leads. Now, what have I got left for you? It's the seventh church, which is the Church of Laodicea, the lukewarm church, which is, I believe, is the church of the day, which is a church that is, we talk about perilous times, it's in these last days. I need to make sure that you understand that this church was apathetic, according to verse 3:16. Also, they didn't care. They didn't care about people. 3:17, they were materialistic. They thought they were all that, but they were blind. They were spiritually blind, and they did not, that means they did not have God's vision for the church. Well, what can we do about this today? What is the answer to dealing with these perilous times? The word says in Hebrews 3:13, it says, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be through the deceitfulness of sin. We want to make sure that we are not caught up in these churches where they're not trying to follow the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. We want to make sure that we exhort, we encourage one another to live a life that is that brings glory to the name of God. And so, what's our job to do now? What is it to do? Like my this sermon today, encourage you. Go to church. Don't be lazy. Don't be slothful. Because God one day is going to call of us before his throne. I thank you. God bless you. If you don't know Christ, call us up at Agape Church if you want to know him. But the word says that if you just believeth on him, that is Jesus Christ, you shall be saved. He's still in the saving, soul-saving business. Try him and see. God bless you.